to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is DB2 Version 9 Introduction for WebSphere Application Server Administrators. Today's presenter is David Kenner. David is a WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support Representative. He has been working in WebSphere Application Server, Portal, Commerce, and AIX for 10 years, both in IBM and in one of the world's largest retailers. He currently works in the WASP CET team, which handles database issues with Application Server and works daily with DB2 support. He has certifications in both Application Server and DB2. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to David.
Thank you, Joseph, and greetings to everyone who is attending. As Joseph pointed out, my name is David Kenner. I work in Level 2 support in the CET team. One of our main jobs, among other things, is working directly with our DB2 Level 2 support. So I wanted to put together a presentation for people who are WebSphere Application Server administrators who have little or no experience with databases or with DB2 and would like to grow their knowledge as far as databases and DB2. So this is a beginner's course. It's just an introduction to get you started. And at the end of the presentation, there's lots of resources for you to follow up and to continue. Joseph, can you turn to slide 2, please? Okay, today's agenda, certification. Of course, IBM would like to encourage you to consider becoming certified in DB2 as well as in WebSphere Application Server. We'll also take a quick look at the database market, the major vendors and the major databases that we work with, the different versions of DB2, the GUI tools and commands that are available for administrators, some new features, GUI tools for development, and then finally some questions and answers. Joseph, please move on to slide 3. Okay, DB2 certification. Altogether, IBM has 5 exams for DB2. Now, to compare that to, let's say, Oracle, last time I checked, to become a certified Oracle DBA, you had to take 4 exams. With IBM, to become a certified DB2 DBA only takes 2 exams. And the starting point for all of this is exam 730, which is the certified associate. And then from there, you make a decision. Either go into DBA or you can take another route is developer, which is exam 733. So from associate, you either can go into DBA or to developer. And developer is exam 733. But if you go into DBA, then you have another choice to make. Do I want to go into Linux, Unix, Windows? That's exam 731. Or do I want to become a DBA on ZOS? And that's exam 732. And so after taking one of those two tests, either exam 731 or 732, you'll be a certified DB2 DBA. Then if you want to go even further on as far as a DBA, you can take exam 734, which is advanced DBA. And those are the tests that IBM provides. Joseph, can you move on to slide 4, please? Okay, what you need to know to get certified, and this is just a compilation. If you go out and look at all the tests that IBM provides for DB2, this is a breakdown of it. This is not what you need to know to begin to do exam 730. This is looking at all of the certifications. So, for example, as we go down the list, IBM wants you to know primarily how to analyze DB2 activity, high availability, and diagnostics. Then it goes down to data manipulation, security, data concurrency, user-defined routines, and so forth. And you'll notice that about midways through the list is performance and scalability. In a total view of all five exams, it would be about 8.25%. Now, on the first two exams, the associate and then also becoming DVA, there's really not a whole lot of questions on performance. But when you go to advanced DVA exam, the final exam, about a third of that is performance related. Joseph, slide five, please. Okay, our database vendors that we work with. As we know, Oracle is the number one database vendor in the world. Number two is DB2, which, of course, we're discussing today, and it is an IBM product. Now, depending upon who you talk to, either IBM or Microsoft, we believe that Informix is the number third database in the world, and SQL Server is fourth. Of course, Microsoft would probably beg to differ with us on that point. As far as WebSphere application server support, we see more SQL Server than we do Informix. Informix has its own other niche, and we don't see it a lot with using it with WebSphere application server. Of course, Informix, it has wholly owned by IBM and was bought years ago. And, of course, the plan has always been to merge Informix eventually into DB2, making DB2 the largest database vendor in the world. Joseph, slide six, please. Okay, now we're going to be taking a look at the different types of DB2. So let's look at the chart here. At the bottom of the chart, the one that I want you to focus on is the IBM CloudScape / which is, of course, Apache Derby. Now, IBM no longer supports CloudScape. CloudScape was always Apache Derby with a few extra features built on, but now we're just use Apache Derby. Apache Derby comes free with WebSphere Application Server. It does have its limitations, only one user at a time, and it is not, and for this and other reasons, it is not supported in production, but we do have quite a few customers who use it in test and test environments. Now, going one step above Apache Derby, of course, Apache is open source, it's free. We have something called DB2 Express-C, and this is a free, fully free database from IBM. It would be, it's not open source, but it is free like Derby. Of course, IBM is not the only one who provides a free database. Oracle provides a free database, and SQL Server also provides a free database. And then to compare DB2 Express-C, so if you want to get out there and play with this, you can just download it and install it. Of course, you can also download and install Oracle or SQL Server and learn and play with them also. Here's some direct comparisons between our free version, IBM's free version, and our competitor's free version. Let's take a look at SQL Server 2008 Express. This is a free database. Its maximum database size is 4 gigabytes per database. Of course, you can get around that by building multiple databases. You can only have one CPU and 1 gigabyte of memory, and it's available only for Windows. Oracle also provides a free database. It's called Oracle Express Edition. It limits you to 4 gigabytes total data. It is only 32-bit, only one processor, and will not allocate more than 1 gigabyte of memory. And it is available only on Windows and Linux. Now, compare these two to what you get with DB2 Express-C, which C stands for Community, the Community Edition. DB2 provides unlimited data space, two processors, not one, with 2 gigabytes of memory, which can run on 32-bit or 64-bit Windows, Linux, including running Linux on IBM's System P and System I servers, and also available on Solaris 10, 64-bit. So there's quite a bit of difference between our completely free database and our competitors' free database. And I think once you start comparing them, you can see that IBM is really trying to push into getting more people to use a DB2, and this is an excellent database to begin. It's DB2 Express-C Community. It's our free version, just like WebSphere also has a free version of WebSphere. It's called Community Edition, so DB2 also has that. DB2 Express-C, there's one step above that. It's called Express-C Subscription. You actually pay for a subscription. For that, you get 24/7 support. Then you get an upgrade to use 4 processors, 4 gigabytes of memory, plus you can use SQL, Structured Query Language-based data replication, and high availability clustering and off-site disaster recovery, also known as HADR. And last time I checked, that support contract was only $2,995. So that would be the step above our free Express-C. Above that, going up our diagram here, our next step is DB2 Workgroup. DB2 Workgroup is ideal for company intranet projects. And here is an actual test question if you're thinking about going and getting certified. That the Workgroup Server Edition is the least expensive version that can be installed on an AIX server. But it still can only handle up to 4 CPUs. So in that list that I gave you for the DB2 Express-C, notice that we handle just about every operating system except for AIX. And to get AIX, the cheapest version of DB2 that runs on AIX is the Workgroup edition. And then up from that, you'll notice that it says DB2 Express. And DB2 Enterprise. And notice that DB2 Enterprise Server Edition is the least expensive that you can install on not only AIX, but all these other OSs that I've mentioned with 5 or more processors. And then above that, which we won't cover, is DB2 Database Warehousing. One of the test questions, though, if you are interested in, again, being certified, is data warehouse is optimized for queries. For example, what are the total purchases for each of the last 4 months? Joseph, page 7, please. Okay, now I'm not going to show you how to install DB2. At the end of the presentation, I have a link. You can go and download DB2, and it has a very excellent install guide. So I didn't want to be redundant here. So go out and install it. The rest of this presentation is based upon Windows, which is one of the easier. We probably all have Windows lab machines that we can play with. You can download it and install it. It installs very easily, and then there's also very good install instructions there. So once you have the database installed, the main tool that you will want to work with is called Control Center. And I show you here in the GUI, in this screenshot, how to access a Control Center. The Control Center is the main GUI that you will work with. There's about a dozen tools that DB2 has, all of them very nice GUIs, but they all launch from the Control Center. So I really want you to see what the Control Center has and work from there. When you click on this, the Control Center, it'll give you 3 different views, standard, advanced, and custom. And Joseph, if you'll take us to slide 8, that's what it looks like. I always use the advanced view. The other 2 views are filtered and restricted. So, Joseph, if you'll take us to slide 9. Okay, this is the main, the advanced view of Control Center of DB2 with a sample database created. There's a lot of good information here. Again, this presentation is for the beginner. It's for someone who hasn't used databases before or not used DB2 before, and I will try my best here to explain all the good information that is being here presented in this view. As I mentioned before, all the tools can, all the other GUI tools that IBM or DB2 has can be launched here. If you will scroll at the top of the screenshot, you'll see where it says Control Center, Select, Edit, View, Tools. And from Tools, it'll be a drop-down box, and you can actually go to some other GUI tools, which we will cover later on in the presentation. If you are absolutely new to databases, the thing that I want to stress is that databases are hierarchical. If you will look in the lower right-hand column, or right-hand of the screenshot, you will see the word columns, and you'll see a table underneath that. And this is actually all the columns in a table called purchase order. So this table is very much like any kind of spreadsheet that you would be using. For example, Microsoft Excel. Here it actually lists, just as in Excel, you'll at the top of your Excel spreadsheet, you'll have a list of all your columns to write. Here it lists them out: POID, status, CUST ID, order date, purchase orders, comments. So these are the actual names of the columns in this table, this particular table being the purchase order table. And notice next to it, to the names, it has data type. And this is just like in Excel spreadsheet. If you select a column, you can right-click and it'll have a format. And you can go under format and you can select data types, and it'll have different types of data types, date, character, integers, currency, and so forth. We have the same thing, of course, in all databases. And here it lists out data types that are associated with each one of the columns. In this particular case, big integers, varchar. Varchar is variable characters. It's letters and numbers. You have dates. You can also have XML. We'll cover that briefly later on in the presentation. Next to where it says data types, notice it says length. And here's something that databases do that are different than what we have available to us in our spreadsheets like Excel. We can actually limit how much data that you can put in each field. In this particular example, POID is an integer, and the maximum amount length of the number that you can put in there is 8 digits. So if you try to put in, let's say, 999,999,999, it won't accept it. This forces you to keep your data clean. And then finally, to the next of that, notice that it says nullable. Again, using our Excel spreadsheet example, Excel will allow you to leave fields blank or null. Databases can force you to put information in. Notice that POID, the under nullable, it says no. So you cannot leave that blank. If you try to leave it blank, you'll get a pop-up screen that'll tell you that you have to put something in or cancel. DB2, as well as all the other databases that I've been mentioning, have been called relational databases. Before relational databases, databases were called flat. And by flat, simply meant that they were like a big spreadsheet, and they would literally have hundreds of columns and possibly millions of rows of data. Well, how do you use something when it gets that big? So what they came up with is relational databases. So instead of one large table, you try to break it down into as many small tables with as few columns and as few rows as possible. And then you create relationships through primary keys and foreign keys, or parent and child relationships, and you build relationships, and thus the term relational databases. And we do that through the primary key and foreign key. Again, if you will look under on the lower right-hand side under columns, under key, you will see next to POID, it actually has a key there, and that's signifying that that is a primary key. There will be another table that will have POID that will have a foreign key. And all the data that you put into this secondary table with the foreign key, you can't put any data in there that's not already in the primary key, thus forcing a relationship. And we can get more into that later on. But also, another thing I really want to stress is if you are new to databases, that columns make up tables. So we have a list of columns there. But notice that on the upper right-hand side, it lists our tables: catalog, customer, inventory, product, product supplier, and purchase order. And we've been looking at purchase order. So columns make up tables. Tables make up table spaces. Table spaces make up databases, and databases make up instances. So it's very nicely hierarchical structured. And also notice that I have purchased the table purchase order selected, and you can right click on it and notice all the nice options that it gives you to work with. So as I mentioned, this is very hierarchical. Columns make up tables. Tables make up table spaces. Table spaces make up databases, and databases make up instances. So let's review instances. So, Joseph, if you will, slide 11, please. Okay. Here we have an instance. So we're beginning at the top. Again, this is very hierarchical. We're beginning at the top at an instance. When you install DB2 and create your database on Windows, it'll automatically create all this for you. If you're interested in getting certified in DB2, for example, it will give you some questions like on a DB2 server with two instances, DB2 Inst 1 and DB2 Inst 2. Of course, DB2 Inst 1 is the default and current instance, and then from there you can go and start another instance. And I show here how you can do that either through the graphics, but I also give you the command. You can go to a DB2 command line, and you can just type in set DB2 instance equals DB2 inst 2, DB2 start, and that'll start your second instance. On Windows, this isn't much of an issue because when you install DB2, it automatically is part of the Windows services, so it'll automatically start once you install and boot up reboot WAS. But when you install on other platforms like AIX, this isn't necessarily so. Most DBAs are going to want to keep any instances that aren't automatically being used, shut them down for not only resources but also for security. So, for example, another test question is about the DB2 admin server, the DOS. A user reported they cannot discover a DB2 database using Configuration Assistant, which is another GUI that we'll take a look at. The most likely cause is DOS DB2 administration server is not running on the server where the database resides. And here I show you go into your first instance, and then you can select your second instance, right-click, and hit Start. Also notice here that I have selected our instance. In this case, it's WP DB2 Inst. And then you can right-click, and it shows you all the options that are available to you. About midway down through that list, notice under Configure Parameters, it says Setup Communications. Joseph, will you go to slide 11, please? And here's the GUI, what it looks like, setting up communications. The default is using TCP/IP, which is the industry standard, and I think that's what most people are using. And the default port number is 50,000. And if you needed to change it, here's how you would change it via the GUIs. Joseph, please go to slide 12, please. Okay, remember I keep coming back that databases are hierarchical. Columns make up tables. Tables make up table spaces. Table spaces make up databases. Databases make up instances. We looked at the highest end instances. Now we're going to look at databases. DB2 comes with a sample database, and if you right-click on the sample database, as I show here, it gives you all of the options that are available. Now, as far as this presentation is concerned, and as far as WebSphere Info Center is concerned, there are only three parameters that it's really interested in, and that is authorities, configuration advisors, and config parameters. Now, I won't go into that here because later on in the presentation, there's actually going to be links in the WAS Info Center, which is going to discuss it. It tells you what to do, but it doesn't tell you where these are at. Now you know where these are at, and you can simply follow the links of its suggestion for doing performance tuning. Joseph, slide 13, please. Okay, going down again, down our hierarchical, columns make up tables, tables make up table spaces. Now, what is a table space? Well, let's go back again to our Excel spreadsheet example. Excel will literally let you create and keep adding data to that Excel spreadsheet, keep adding and keep adding, and it's only limited by the physical amount of space on your system. In databases, we can restrict that. We can say we only want this table to get so big. And the way that we do that, we can say that one or more tables go into a table space, and we can limit the size of that table space and force it not to grow, because the whole ideal of keeping everything running smoothly is to use multiple tables and keeping tables as small as possible and building relationships among them. Now, as far as the WAS Info Center, the WebSphere Application Server Info Center is concerned, when it comes to table spaces, there's only two parameters that they're concerned about, and that is drop and privileges. And notice in here in this example, I show you where the table spaces are located at. I just selected one here, IBM DB2 sample. You can right-click on it, and you can either hit drop here, or notice in the upper right-hand corner, I actually give you the command. So you can go to a DB2 prompt, and you can type in drop table space and the name of the table spaces. So, for example, from our WAS Info Center, it says, when creating a scheduler database, you should verify that the output contains no errors. If there were any errors, you can drop the table space by selecting the schema, right-clicking, and hitting drop. And here I give you a nice GUI of where you can find that in the control center. Joseph, slide 14, please. Again, we're going down the hierarchical path. Columns make up tables. So here we're looking at a table. This particular table is called task. You can, if you right-click on task, it shows you all these options. But also notice that in the lower right-hand corner, it actually lists you all the columns that are in the table called task, and then per each column, what kind of data type, the length of that data type, and whether or not it's nullable. And again, when you go through the WAS Info Center, which I have a link, there are several links in the WAS Info Center, which I have at the end of the presentation. There's only three things that it wants you to know about the options for tables, and this is dropping tables, privileges, and then reorganize. So here I give you an example. You can either go down, you can select your table, you can right-click on it, you go down, and you can drop it from there. Or if you look at the very top of the screenshot, I give you the actual command, and you can go into a DB2 prompt, and you can just write drop table, and then, of course, the table name, in this case, task. Other things that will be listed in the WAS Info Center will be privileges. Here I show you where you can find privileges, and then also reorganize, which is very important for doing DB2 performance tuning. Joseph, slide 16. Okay, I wanted to show you how to create a table, since that is where DBA spend a great deal amount of their time. There's two ways you can do it. You can either use one of our GUIs, a wizard, or you can actually create it via command line. I give you the command here. You can just simply go to a DB2 prompt and type out create table, the name of the table. In this case, it's part_tab, and then, of course, the name of the columns that you want to put in, and then what kind of data type they are. Or you can use one of our wizards. And here I show you, you just select tables, right-click, then hit create. Joseph, slide 16, please. And this is the nice GUI that it pops up. It automatically fills in who the schema name is, and I'll cover that in a little bit. You can put in the table name, and then it gives you a nice little the second part of the wizard where you can actually click add, as you see on the lower right hand, and you click add, and then you can put in your column names, the data types, and so forth. In this example, we're keeping it very simple. The name of the columns are simply CO, column 0, column 1, CO and C1, and they're both data types are int or integer. Slide 18, please. Beginning with DB2 version 9, it became both a relational and also an XML database. Now, as far as from WAS support and also as far as certification is concerned, it really doesn't go into a great deal of detail about it. But I wanted to show you here how DB2 treats XML. You can see here that it simply treats, you can actually select your column data, your column data type as being XML, and then each field under each row under that column, each field, you right-click, and then you can put your XML in there. So it treats each field as a separate XML file. And as far as the certification is concerned, it'll ask you questions like valid statements concerning XML columns include that SQL structured query language and XQuery can be used to retrieve data in XML columns. Any portion of an XML document can be accessed directly, and the whole document does not need to be read. And size does not have to be specified on an XML column in a DB2 table. And for right now, that's all we're going to go in as far as XML. But you now know where it's at, and you can go and play with it. Slide 18, please. Schemas. Now, one thing that we have not covered in this hierarchical view of databases is schemas. And the reason why is a schema is a logical grouping and not a physical grouping. In the hierarchical that I have been explaining, it's a physical grouping. Schemas are logical. They are a collection of objects, and they can contain tables, views, nicknames, triggers, functions, packages, etc. And one of the questions that if you're interested in becoming certified is, after creating a new database, all users who successfully authenticate with the database have the ability to create a new schema, usually based upon the user's names, so that the object can be tracked of who created what. So in this particular case, I created this database as username using WASAdmin. That's my schema name. I allow you to log into my, you create a user, I allow you to log into my into my database, and I give you privileges. You then go out and create tables. Well, each table that you will create will be logged in under your schema name, so that way we know who created what. And again, I show here that as far as our WAS Info Center, which I have linked further back in the presentation. The only two things that it's concerned about is drop and privileges, and I show here that you can select schema, you then select your schema, and then you can right-click, and then you can either drop or select privileges. Slide 19, please. Okay, from the Control Center, I've been telling you about all these other nice GUI tools that is available. one of them is called SQL Assistant. SQL means Structured Query Language. And I'm not going to go in a whole lot of detail here, just other than to show you that we do have a tool out there that will help you write SQL. In this particular case, this would be for SUDI, which stands for Select, Update, Delete, Insert. And a DBA, of course, spends a significant amount of time writing select statements, because select statements is how you get information out of your database. Slide 20, please. Okay, and here is a separate tool. This is not part of the DB2 install. This is a separate tool called Data Studio version 2.2. Now, let's compare this to WebSphere Application Server. WebSphere Application Server, we have an Eclipse tool, which is not part of WAS, that you can download and install, and it's called WebSphere Application Server Server Tool, or AST. It's based upon Eclipse. In DB2, they have the same thing. And it's based upon Eclipse, and it's called Data Studio. The latest one is version 2.2. And it provides additional functionality that you cannot get through other GUIs in DB2, in Control Center or other GUIs that you can launch from Control Center. For example, writing stored procedures. You can't do that from Control Center, but you can do that from here. Writing web services and Java data access layers. One step above Data Studio is called, it used to be called Rational Data Architect, now it's called InfoSphere Data Architect. And putting that into perspective with WAS Application Server. So with WAS, the Eclipse product that you can download is called Application Server Tool, and then one step above that is Rational Application Developer, RAD. In DB2, theirs is called InfoSphere Data Architect. And one of the nice features of that is that you can do data modeling, which we won't cover in this presentation. Slide 21, please. Okay, I realize I've covered a lot of material, lots of screenshots, and then there's a lot of missing pieces. This is where it all fits in. If you go into our WebSphere Application Server Info Center, I keep saying ours because DB2 also has an Info Center. If you go into our WAS Info Center, and here's links to doing trusted connections with DB2, instance parameters, database creation, configure table space and page sizes for DB2 sessions, databases, creating DB2 tables for schedulers, data store performance, and database privileges. So there's a lot of good information in our Info Center. It tells you what to do, but it doesn't tell you how to do it. Now, armed with these links, go to these links, and armed with this presentation, you'll have GUIs that you can go back and take a look at. Oh, this parameter is under instances, or it's under databases, or under tables. And so using both of those. Slide 22, please. And here are the DB2 resources. The first link is where you can download the free copy of DB2 Express C Community Edition. Also, IBM provides an excellent free tutorial on DB2 Fundamentals, which is Exam 730. So if you're interested in taking our first certification, here's the link. You can go through our tutorial, which is an excellent, and then go take the test. And as I mentioned, as WAS has an Info Center, so does DB2. Here's the link to their Info Center. And then there's also a user group, education assistant, and so forth. The latest version of DB2 is 9.7. I know I have 9.5 linked up here, but 9.7 came out fairly recently. And you can download and install that. So hopefully I've given you a lot of good information and a starting point. So from the starting point, and now go and download this, install it, and go through the links in the Info Center. You can increase your knowledge of DB2 and also, of course, WAS. And then, of course, if you want, go on and become certified. So that concludes the presentation today, and I turn it back to you, Joseph. Thank you all for attending.
you, David, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Marcia, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin a question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute the phone and record your first and last name. To withdraw the question, you may press star 2. Once again, you may press star 1 to ask a question, please. Thank you. One moment, please. Currently, no questions or comments so far.
Thank you, Marcia. Now, I did see a question here from the group chat from Jose Padilla. And so, David, I'm going to read out the question verbally, and then hopefully you'll be able to answer it. The question is the Control Center an Eclipse-based application?
No. No, it's not. And also, there was a question about Sybase. Yeah, now, Webster Application Server does have support for Sybase. Frankly, we just don't see a whole lot of it. It's a fine database. Don't get me wrong. It's a fine database. We just don't see a whole lot of it.
Thank you, David. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.